Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the LA School Show. I'm Leo, and Lyle will be joining us in a few minutes. Tonight we have a fascinating interview with Dr. K. He was with us last week. This is a second interview with him. And we're going to be discussing some interesting stuff. He's going to be, he continues his talk about Obama, and that Obama is not a naturalized citizen, and also that Michelle Obama is Jewish, and he has evidence to support that Obama stated that he was Jewish as well. So it's kind of interesting. So I tonight that will be explained a little more clearly, since they both were supposedly Christians, and also that Mr. Obama, or Mrs. Obama rather, has a rabbi, or her uncle is a rabbi, so in Chicago. So it's just interesting information that Dr. K will be bringing to us, and in a little while. Let's see. We have something here that we can. Lila's joined us. She's here now, and she will be talking to you. You can talk to them.
Well, let me just start with some information here.
Oh, this is a good one. Since Obama, I just informed them that Obama and Michelle Obama are Jewish.
In the Sudan, this is from Press TV. Israel has supplied a rebel group involved in the Darfur conflict in the Sudan with considerable amounts of weaponry. The Justice and Equality Movement has received considerably heavy military logistical support from Israel, Sudan State Media reported on Sunday. The shipment has been sent through France, which is in charge of training military personnel inside neighboring Chad. The Sudanese Media Center, a news outlet with links to Sudan security services, said. France maintains a 1,650-soldier mission to Chad as part of the EU Corps mission to protect refugees who fled the conflict in Darfur and neighboring Sudan. The JM, the Justice and Equality Movement, which seized the city of Mogadishu about 2 weeks ago, is considered Darfur's most powerful rebel group. The group managed to capture the city from forces loyal to the Sudanese Liberation Army faction of the Mini-Manawi, which is the only rebel group to have signed a peace deal with Khartoum. Sudan accuses Chad of providing military and logistical support for the rebel group's attacks on southern Darfur. Chad, however, blames Sudan for the creation of the Union of Resistance Forces, an umbrella group for the main Chadian rebel fractions created in late January 2008. The two neighbors broke off diplomatic relations last year, with each accusing the other of supporting rebel assaults on their capitals. Although relations were reestablished in November, ties still remain tense between the two Central African nations. Let's see. Israel warns Lebanon. This is from the Pakistan Daily. Israel has threatened Lebanon with crushing military invasion amid concerns over Hezbollah's retaliation for Imad Magnaya's murder. Ahead of the first anniversary of the death of Imad Magnaya, Hezbollah's top commander, who was killed in a car bomb attack on February 12th in Damascus, Defense Minister Ehud Barak warned Tuesday that any attack by Hezbollah would prompt an unimaginably painful response from Israel. Although Israel denies any involvement in the attack, Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah said formally that all evidence gathered so far indicates that Israel's Mossad service was behind the car bomb attack in Damascus. I want to say here, on the border, that I don't recommend that Hezbollah test us before the consequences, because the consequences would be more painful than one can imagine, Barak has said during a visit to the Israeli-Lebanese frontier area. Hezbollah sits around the cabinet in Beirut with a sufficient number of ministers to decide how to act, and therefore the Lebanese government bears overall responsibility, said Barak. His comments come as Tel Aviv is worried about Hezbollah's retaliation. Nasrallah vowed retaliation against Israel, saying Hezbollah's revenge for Imad is just a matter of time. So there's some very angry words on both sides there.
Yeah, some of you may by now, I would think, know that Nancy Killefer, who was Obama's appointee to the oversee the bailout, resigned yesterday along with former Senator Daschle. And it says, this is very brief, but I just wanted to read this letter. It was a letter from Nancy Killefer to President Obama, her resignation letter. It said, "Dear Mr. President, I recognize that your agenda and the duties facing your chief performance officer are urgent. I have also come to realize in the current environment that my personal tax issue of D.C., unemployment tax, could be used to create exactly the kind of distraction and delay those duties must avoid. Because of this, I must reluctantly ask you to withdraw my name from consideration. I'm deeply honored to have been selected by you, and you have my deep appreciation for your confidence in me. You have my heartfelt support and best wishes for success in all your endeavors. Respectfully yours, Nancy Killefer." So she's bailed out. And those were her official words to President Obama.
U.S. partner, not Hamas, firing rockets into Israel by Aaron Klein. With Hamas signaling it is willing to enter a ceasefire with Israel, it was the U.S.-backed Fatah party of Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, whose so-called military wing, took responsibility for a barrage of rockets and mortars fired from the Gaza Strip today. That was February 2nd. Fatah's Al-Asamada's brigade called WND and also released an official pamphlet to take credit for firing at least 5 rockets and 4 mortars, lightly wounding 2 Israeli soldiers and 1 civilian. Also taking responsibility was a cell claiming it was working on behalf of the Iranian-backed Hamas-allied Islamic Jihad terrorist organization. Contacted by WND, the leadership of the Islamic Jihad in both Gaza and the West Bank were not aware that their group launched any rockets. The claimed results of an immediate investigation launched by both Hamas and the Islamic Jihad was shared with WND. The probe found that Islamic Jihad rockets were actually fired by Fatah. Hamas and Islamic Jihad sources explained, that when Hamas took over Gaza from its Fatah rivals in 2007, about 100 members of the Fatah Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade joined Islamic Jihad, and it was those members who launched today's attacks. Hamas has demanded Islamic Jihad immediately clamp down on the Fatah members within its ranks, prompting some tensions between the two allies. A top member of Hamas, so-called military wing, told WND today that Fatah members who shot today's rockets will be dealt with harshly, hinting they may even be killed. If we catch them, I think they will not live to see the light of day. So Hamas leaders repeatedly had warned they would not recognize Abbas after January 9th, and they would launch a major campaign to delegitimize the PA president and install their own figures to lead the Palestinian government. Abbas used the violence to declare an emergency government that will keep him in office for at least another year. So some struggling there. Between the Palestinian Authority and Hamas.
Yeah. That's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, it is.
Very weird.
Well, Hamas, you have to remember, was the elected.
No, I know, but for Fatah, who was supposed to be the peacekeepers there, or the middle ground.
Not exactly so.
The Palestinian Authority, set that off. Kind of telling you they don't want peace.
Yeah.
Because once they have peace, then they're not useful.
Because they don't need to have any peacekeeping.
That's right. And so their party is hated anyway, and is appointed by the U.S. and
Israel. So what good is that? They don't represent the people.
That's right. So anyway, so it would make sense that they would launch an attack against a couple of missiles over there.
To keep it all going.
Yeah. Anyway, this was kind of interesting, and it's brief, but Obama alters labor policies. And President Obama signed a series of executive orders yesterday that he said would level the playing field for labor unions in their struggles with management. Union officials said the new orders by Obama will undo Bush administration policies that favored employers over workers. The order will. The order will require federal contractors to offer jobs to current workers when contracts change. Reverse a Bush administration order requiring federal contractors to post notice that workers can limit their financial support of unions serving as their exclusive bargaining representatives. And prevent federal contractors from being reimbursed for expenses meant to influence workers deciding whether to form a union and engage in collective bargaining. We need to level the playing field for workers and the unions that represent these interests, Obama said during a signing ceremony in the East Room of the White House. I do not view the labor movement as part of the problem. To me, it is part of the solution. You cannot have a strong middle class without a strong labor movement. And signing the executive orders was Obama's second overture to organize labor in as many days. And on Thursday, he signed the first bill of the presidency, giving workers more time to sue for wage discrimination. It's a day for workers, a new day for workers, says James Hoffa, president of the Teamsters, who attended the ceremonies, and other union leaders. We finally have a White House that is dedicated to working with us to rebuild our middle class. Hope for the American dream is being restored. International Brotherhood of Teamsters. So that's quite, I thought that was interesting. So anyway, go ahead, my darling.
U.S. Iraq, generals seek to reverse Obama withdrawal decision. CENTCOM Commander General David Petraeus, supported by Defense Secretary Robert Gates, tried to convince President Barack Obama that he had to back down from his campaign pledge to withdraw all U.S. combat troops from Iraq within 18 months at an Oval Office meeting on January 21st. But Obama informed Gates, Petraeus, and the Joint Chiefs Chairman, Admiral Mike Mullen, that he wasn't convinced, and they wanted Gates and the military leaders to come back quickly with a detailed 16-month plan, according to two sources who have talked with participants in the meeting. Obama's decision to override Petraeus' recommendations has not ended the conflict between the president and senior military officers over troop withdrawal, however. There are indications that Petraeus and his allies in the military and the Pentagon, including General Ray Odierno, now the top commander in Iraq, have already begun to try to pressure Obama to change his withdrawal policy. A network of senior military officers is also reported to be preparing to support Petraeus and Odierno by mobilizing public opinion against Obama's decision. Petraeus was visibly unhappy when he left the Oval Office, according to one source. A White House staffer present at the meeting was quoted by the sources saying, Petraeus made the mistake of thinking he was still dealing with George Bush instead of with Barack Obama. Petraeus, Gates, and Odierno had hoped to sell Obama on a plan that they formulated in the final months of the Bush administration that aimed at getting around a key provision of the U.S.-Iraqi withdrawal agreement signed envisioned recategorizing large numbers of combat troops as support troops. That centrifuge was by the United States last November while ostensibly allowing Obama to deliver on his campaign promise. Gates and Mellon had discussed the relabeling scheme with Obama as part of the Petraeus Odierno, I have trouble with that name, plan for withdrawal that had presented to him in mid-December, according to the December 18th New York Times story. Obama decided against making any public reference to his order to the military to draft a detailed 16-month combat troop withdrawal policy, apparently so that he could announce his decision only after consulting with his field commanders and the Pentagon. The first clear indication of the intention of Petraeus, Odierno, and their allies to try to get Obama to amend his decision came on January 29th, when the New York Times published an interview with Odierno, ostensibly based on the premise that Obama had indicated that he was open to alternatives. The Times reported that Odierno had developed a plan that would move slower than Mr. Obama's campaign timetable, and it suggested in an interview it might take the rest of the year to determine exactly when United States forces could be drawn down significantly. The opening argument by Petraeus and Odierno faction against Obama's withdrawal policy was revealed the evening of the January 21st meeting when retired Admiral General Jack Kane, one of the authors of the Bush troop surge policy and a close political ally and mentor of General Petraeus, appeared on the Lira NewsHour to comment on Obama's pledge on Iraq combat troop withdrawal. Kane, who had certainly been briefed by Petraeus on the outcome of the Oval Office meeting, argued that implementing such a withdrawal of combat troops would increase the risk rather dramatically over the 16 months. He asserted that it would jeopardize the stable political situation in Iraq and called that risk not acceptable. The assertion that Obama's withdrawal policy threatens the gains allegedly won by the Bush surge and Petraeus' strategy in Iraq will apparently be the theme of the campaign that the military opponents are now planning. And this is like a three-page article, and it goes into the details of what they said. And if you're more interested in it, you could go and get it from northamerican.net/news.
I think it's IPSNorthAmerica.net, IPSNorthAmerica.net. It's
probably the press service or something. Yeah. But let me just go to the final paragraph here, see. But judging from Petraeus' shock at Obama's January 21st decision, he had not taken Obama's previous rejection of the argument seriously. That miscalculation suggests that Petraeus had begun to accept Keane's assertion that a newly elected Democratic president would not dare to override his policy recommendation on troops in Iraq. Well, I guess he was surprised, huh?
That's why he went out and flipped the coin at the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
That was a shock to me.
Hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That shocked me. Anyway. I was just going to return.
Yeah. That Petraeus was out to flip the coin?
Yeah.
I don't know why they were at the Super Bowl. I didn't particularly care for that. I think that that's not the place for the military.
I think they should. Well, the military people can go, but I mean, I didn't think for the military to take over the first act of a Super Bowl game kind of bothers me.
It made me very uncomfortable. I didn't like it at all.
You didn't feel like you were. You felt like you were being told which way the game was going.
I didn't like it.
So I didn't care for that either. Give me the creeps.
I just don't think that's part of that should be part of things. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Not that I don't respect people that make that their career and do that. I don't believe in war, but I don't think that's the place for it. Sports and war are two different things.
Yeah, especially.
Made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
And do you have something ready? Do you have the interview ready?
The interview will be up in just a second. I was going to read the African Union creates new authority. Which I thought was really fascinating.
Yeah, well, it's the beginning of world government for Africa.
Yeah, I mean,
continental government. Read it and just see what they. I didn't like that when I read that article.
There's supposed to be four. The plan, the globalist plan, is that there's supposed to be a North American Union, a European Union,
which there already is,
an Asian Union, and an African Union. All right. And this African Union is already in existence, and I didn't realize that until this article. The African Union Commission will be transformed into a new AU authority as a compromise step toward eventually forming a continent-wide government, the bloc announced yet today. The decision came after a decisive day of talks on whether to create a new government for the United States of America or move championed by Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. That's a guy you haven't heard much about over the last few years. AU Commission Chairman Xiaoping. Where are we? Said that the new authority would have a broader mandate than the Mixing Commission. And the body will be headed by a president and a vice president, and the commissioners will become secretaries charged with portfolios. I like how they break down the countries into portfolios.
Yeah, nice.
In principle, we said the ultimate is the United States of Africa. How we proceed to that ultimate, there are building blocks, he said. We are creating an institution with a bigger mandate, with bigger capacities, which moves us toward the goal of the Union government, Mr. Pink said, of the new world, of the new authority. Governments will still retain their sovereignty as under the existing system, he said. Many African leaders are reluctant to relinquish any of their sovereignty to a new government, while some favor strengthening regional institutions before creating a continent-wide system.
Well, do you think the people of Africa get a chance to vote on that?
People of Africa, no. They'll be lucky if they get a chance to eat, you know,
and
survive AIDS and survive the, you know.
Move along to this new thing that they didn't even vote for.
No, they never will. That's not a vote. Most of those countries aren't, they have one candidate to vote for, kind of like we do.
We're lucky we have two.
We have two.
No big deal.
Same kind of people, just the two. But anyway, so now, for the highlight of our show, we have Dr. Cass Ingram's interview that he did with us last night on our FM show, and we want to play that now. It's quite controversial, and for those of you who didn't know, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, according to Cass Ingram, or Dr. K, are Jewish, and Of course, Obama isn't a naturalized citizen, so
he questions his credentials, where he was born, who his parents are,
right,
and the fact that his birth certificate is being questioned by a lot of people.
Three lawsuits have been
raised
since he was nominated. So anyway,
and Obama has never addressed it.
Right, and we're going to go there right now. So I hope you enjoy the show and this interview by Dr. Cass Ingram. And here we go.
I'm doing great. It's good to be back and follow up on our last conversation.
Yes, we're very glad to have you back. And as a matter of fact, because of the conversation we had with you, a friend of ours was able to get an interview with that Alex Jones did with Aaron Russo.
Right. Yeah.
In reference to what you were saying about his talk with the Rockefeller.
Sure.
Rockefeller.
Yeah.
And so those were his original words. It was very interesting to hear that.
Right, to hear that original, that admission of a plot against the people and
mm-hmm.
calling the people nothing more than serfs and they don't
right.
deserve a constitution, all that. But it kind of goes back to, do we really think that the powers that told us that they would take down the World Trade Centers, regardless of the loss of life, in order to achieve essentially a coup against the American system or the people, do we really think that they would just let anybody become a president?
No.
Well, you got a good point there.
We knew that. And, you know, but you had two choices, didn't you?
Well,
yeah,
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
And you had three. The only other, the third choice was...
Well, Ron Paul's a decent man. He's a good man. It's a shame that the system won't allow any decency. But, you know, I mean, we talked last time about change that we can't believe in.
Right.
And then some people might have gotten upset with some of the things I said. And then sometimes people say, how could you? You're being like are you being a racist? You know, people unfortunately think funny things without really thinking it through. And now, lo and behold, it is change we can't believe in because 20 innocents were slaughtered in Afghanistan under the president's... I don't know how you can call it president if we don't have a president. If we don't have a birth certificate, we don't have parents, we don't know where the person's coming from or whether they're a legitimate person by the law that we have.
Well, we just...
Law is you can't have a non-citizen. That's the law we have.
Yeah, we read an article about Obama's aunt who's living in Boston, I think, illegally. And they're trying to deport her, and she's claiming, hey, my nephew's the president. You know what I mean?
Right. And there was another Obama apparent relative. Again, this is all probably mostly subterfuge, but that somehow they said had some drugs, and of course that was pardoned. But but the interesting thing is that those innocents were killed.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, we have a murderous regime all over again. And then you have those pitifuls in Gaza.
We're
in a refugee camp. God help us. And then they experiment with them on Nazi weapons, Ashkenazi, dropping dime weapons on the people with no consequences. There will be no war crimes trial against that entity. Only a bloody nose will make it listen. And so here you have those people where that bomb drops, having their legs cut off like someone hit them with a chainsaw, only worse.
Yeah.
Worse. And nothing is done. Nothing will be done.
Well, we read another article tonight about it. The 86 Israelis are up for war crimes in the international courts. There's five or six different countries.
They filed suits in Britain, in Spain, in France.
Yeah, good luck.
But I don't know what will happen, if anything.
Good luck. You're using the devil to try to clean up the devil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the other issue that is really unprecedented is the fact that the man has taken office not only through a dubious election system,
mm-hmm.
but also without any, known existence. You do not have a legitimate birth certificate. The birth certificate says African. My friend Don Nikoloff did that research. You don't have any birth certificates prior to Obama's that list African as a nationality.
Hmm.
Now, why was that listed as an African? Because that way our black people who don't know and who haven't seen through this carefully, our African nationals here who are Americans, will think that somehow he's a black president. You know, so it was very carefully crafted. And, of course, the people fell into that trap, and they somehow think that he is an African man. Now, if you go to Don Nikoloff's site, which is directlightproductions.com, and you go to look at his Three Stooges Come to Washington, and I don't want to belabor this issue, but it's just worthy to look at his research,
mm-hmm.
you will see a photograph of Mr. Obama in a group of people from Kenya. And, you know, I have the greatest admiration for the African people and the African people's sovereignty as a nation of people. I'm a Malcolm X African.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the picture appears to be fabricated because you see a very light complexion with a lot of very dark complexion. It doesn't make any sense. And the further research you'll see Mr. Nikoloff has done is that the parents are not real parents, especially the so-called white side of the parentage. Those people are directly connected to the Rockefeller family. And our analysis has proven that those photographs have been fabricated. So it's worth it to read. You know, don't shoot the messenger. Investigate that. Now, we understand that in Africa, your report, there looks like a world government attempt or a New World Order attempt to conquer Africa from what you have. Tell me about that.
Yeah, this is from that the African Union Commission will be transformed into a new authority as a compromise. But it's another step to solidify a continent, and it's another step toward world government.
You know why? To conquer Africa's resources.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
And be dang with the public.
Yeah.
Dang
with
the people.
It has nothing to do
happening under Obama's administration, and he won't stand in the way. He's already been involved with the placement of a oppressor in Kenya, as you know. So,
mm-hmm.
It's enough of this.
What's
quite fascinating is that people are fooled into this. And instead of looking at the criminal, a lot of times they'll attack the people who represent this or reveal it. That's why I tell them, keep an open mind, and you do the investigating. Don't react. Check it.
Yeah. Well, I think people feel so put down, they were so disappointed by George Bush and felt so betrayed that they want desperately to believe in this man. And
that's why, other than
the placards that are in blue and white, because blue is such a good commercial color, and
mm-hmm.
what would be the basis to even, are we doing it emotionally, or are we using our thinking?
It's purely emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I was convinced that you had to break it down to one of two guys. You had to break it down to an idiot, or an old idiot, or a young idiot.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like, well, and an old white guy or a young black guy. And it's like, I'm going, well, you know, it's time for a black guy, all right?
Yeah.
It's time for that. It's time to break that barrier. It's time for that. But, you know, I couldn't under any circumstances, okay, none, even if I was tied in water, boarded and everything else, vote for McCain.
I understand. I had the same feeling. Here's the issue, really. If we had legitimacy, then the first thing that would be done, like John F. Kennedy Jr., would be to investigate why he was murdered. He would have checked out what in God's name happened to my dad.
Yeah.
He was right for that. He was killed, so he couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if we had legitimacy here, the first thing a guy would do would be to say, instead of plotting to attack Pakistan, which doesn't help the American people, and you're plotting to go into deeper into Afghanistan, the poorest country in the world,
mm-hmm.
or plotting to take out Iran by some sort of a trap. Oh, we're going to negotiate. Well, you can't force the Iranian people to do anything, and they're going to say, you know what, we'd rather fight you. If you're going to come here anyway and work against us, we don't want to fight, but hey, we'll go ahead and fight if that's what you want, but we're not going to succumb to your blackmail. So in other words, Iran doesn't do the impossible, which is to lay itself on the ground to be cut up. Oh, you didn't negotiate, so now we're going to get you. You know, this is the plot.
Yeah, right.
Now, that being said, if you were a legitimate change-oriented person, the first thing you'd do is say, what in God's name happened to the World Trade Center?
Mm-hmm.
We see those bombs going off. Don't you think John F. Kennedy would have at least put together a group and said, what in the hell happened? I'm sure he would have at least raised the question inside his Oval Office.
Well, here and again.
But anymore,
Well, here and again. Where's the two-ton Teddy? All right? Where the hell is he?
Well, he's been sitting in sick now.
Oh, okay.
He's long ago Chappaquiddick to death.
Yeah.
But.
If you would think, Chappaquiddick, but at the same time, he's been in the damn Senate for 50 years.
Nah,
okay?
That's like hoping for a pipe dream.
Oh, wouldn't you think he would have said, hey, what happened to my my brother?
Oh, that's another pipe dream.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Only John Jr. would have opened that up, and they did him out.
Yeah, I know.
You know, remember, after John Jr. died, God bless his little soul and his wife and his kid, a Piper Cub expert came on immediately and said, that is impossible. That's a powerful, strong biplane, pop plane. It cannot take a nosedive like that unless there's something. And then that guy was cut off and nobody ever heard again.
But there also was reports of somebody fooling around with his plane.
That's the Bush and Hillary Clinton are associated with that corruption.
That's
right. And let's not forget the ever-present world Jewry, the Mossad, which has its wicked hand in so many of the deaths of Americans, including the World Trade Center. But, you know, if you were legitimate, you'd look into some... Why is all America looking into the World Trade Center, but that guy over there and his crew have their backs to us?
Mm-hmm.
Why did America cry when some of those Gazan babies were slaughtered, but they put their backs to us?
Yep.
You know, now, that kind of brings us again to 911.
Yeah, we can't get away from it, can we?
Yeah, I've got a...
It's at the bottom of everything at
the
beginning.
There's an article that just you'd be interested in this for sure. It's pertinent. I got an article tonight. I didn't get a chance to read it, but it's about Israel is arming the four rebels, okay, as cited by the Sudan government. And a friend of ours, Keith Harmon Snow, is an investigative journalist and done a lot of work in Darfur, a human rights watcher and so on. He said that Israel is all over the place. He says, but definitely in Darfur.
Oh, no doubt. Look, I published on that in The Wrongly Blamed. There's a thorough section about how Israel has been, the Zionist entity has been conquering steadfastly southern Sudan. It's such a long place as a proxy, force against Egypt.
Right.
And to destabilize the Islamic people there. They're obviously going after the oil.
Well, the fascinating thing is not only oil, but they're also the largest producer of gum arabic in the world.
That's right, and there are minerals there.
Yeah.
And they have thoroughly set up a stooge who now runs half of they trained him in Israel. You know, Israeli John, we call him. It's all in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And he is their agent. He's like a mini Saddam.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically trained in Britain, America, and in the Israeli entity. They even had their own radio tower there broadcasting Israeli propaganda. And don't forget, Kenya and Ethiopia are essentially run by the Zionists.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they are. They have an enormous presence in Ethiopia. Don't remember that they airlifted out those Ethiopian Jews and
put
them in Israel. Mm-hmm. And then they started training them as Mossad agents. Any Israeli is a Mossad agent. All Israelis are Mossad agents. All are suspect to spy on the American people, especially those who are involved with the military. They are dual agents. And so what happened is that these spies basically have taken over Ethiopia's infrastructure. Then on top of that, the 90,000 or so that went to Ethiopia or to Israeli, they are dark skinned, and so they trained them to look like Arabs. Now one of those was caught and found to be an Israeli spy. He was posing as a Muslim. This is kind of interesting because this individual had entered as like he was a refugee to Britain. His name was Usman Hussein on his certificate. And he said he was a Somali because of, war, he had to leave, okay? He goes there and he marries a Christian girl or someone, and then she starts wearing a black veil, all covered. Then they start going to mosques. This is in Britain.
Hmm.
And they went to the East London Mosque and tried to convert it to a terror center, like a fundamentalist center.
Hmm.
When the chief of the mosque, Mr. Toha Hussein, said, you know, we're not going to turn this into a center of radicalism, Usman Hussein punched the man in the mouth and knocked out his teeth.
Hmm.
This is, now, what's important here is that then this man called the police, the man who was punched, and said, we have an absolute crazy person here. He must be watched. We don't care who he is, whether he's a Muslim or not. He's dangerous. Do you know what that man ended up doing?
What?
No.
He ended up setting a bomb on the London Tubes. Remember the 7/7 bombing in London?
He was one of those guys.
He was one of the guys. This is the second set of bombs, and he coordinated all four of those second bombs. They caught him in Italy because he suspected that perhaps his cover was going to be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
So he took a train to Italy. He then went from vehicle to vehicle. They tried to screen him through different passport centers, the Mossad agents. They were unsuccessful. The Italians broke the code, broke in, got him, and he confessed that his purpose was to sow terror and that his real name is not Osman Hussein, but it's Addis Isaac.
Mm.
Hamdi Addis Isaac. As you know, I've published on that. He's a Zionist spy posing as a Muslim. So this is a very serious dilemma for the American people, that at any moment a terror attack could occur here as well and be blamed on other people, and it would continue to happen. People continue to be killed. Then the consequences of a nuclear bomb, for instance, in this country is not just those people who are killed immediately. It's not going to be blamed on Muslims or something. But then the poisonous effects, as we saw on Ground Zero, people still dying every day who worked at that Ground Zero. All of this consequence, all due to a foreign national group, all invading our country. We have been conquered, and we don't even know it's happening.
It's a bloodless coup. We were just conquered financially.
A bloody coup.
We were just conquered financially in a bloodless coup.
Well, that part was it was even bloody because it look at the suicides.
Okay.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think if we get too hot on the 911, we'll have another event, a domestic event, that'll distract from that.
I know. It's been my concern and my worry. And so I said, let's get hot as heck because it's our only chance to, you know, to hopefully overcome some of this. If we start to learn a little more about it, at least we can fight back with our wallets. We can fight back with our energy. We can say, you know, this mass media.
Now here's something. You, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's an article that just came up today, and I was going to read it. It was that the state of Illinois just invested $10 million, okay, in Israeli war bonds, you know.
Oh, my God, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, the state of Illinois. I mean,
the first time.
And they said they've been doing this since 2003.
Well, you know, the Illinois is run by Jewish mafia, too, because you know that the original mafia boss was directly connected to them, whatever his name
Meyer
was.
Lansky.
Italian chef. I guess he was Italian.
Well, Meyer Lansky, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then you have the Pritzkers, who are the richest Illinoisans, and they're big Zionist landowners. And so you can't say that the Christian government is coughing up these monies for these war bonds, or the fact that this other group took $2.2 billion in investments out of Iran 2 or 3 days ago, apparently, as another sign that there's inside information of a coming a slaughter or attempt to slaughter.
In Iran.
Yeah. You know, it's and then unfortunately, while the Zionists are doing this, there are enough Christian masses who think that they should go out and kill Muslims.
Yeah, no,
they still have a confidence level, but they're very concerned that there would be perhaps a change in that. So you can bet there's a plot to draft Americans. And remember Biden, when he said that gird your loins.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Yeah.
Your president's going to need all your support. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. Gird your loins means, you know, go out and fight.
Yeah.
So what do you he said within 8 months, I remember.
Right, within 6 months, yeah.
6 to 8 months or something.
What we know is that the CNN, ABC, CBS committed mass murder.
Right. They've done it. They do it continually, yeah.
They did it with the atomic bomb tests and the military out there making it look like it was no big deal.
Right.
They did it in World War II. They did it in Korea, and they did it in Vietnam.
Hey, do you believe that any of these boneheads on television, these anchor people, do you believe any of them really know what the hell they're talking about? Do they know that what they're covering up? Or
well, I think the closest probably was, to some degree, as far as famous people, was Dan Rather.
Mm. He knew. Yeah,
you can see it sometimes in his facial inflections, and he wasn't quite as wicked as Peter Jennings. I know he's gone now, but Peter Jennings would look at you cold, straight in the face.
And he
did mention that this looks more like a controlled demolition, and that's why they put Jerome Hauer from Kroll Associates on with Rather. They didn't put him on with Jennings. They didn't put him on with Wolf Israel Blitzer. They didn't put him on with Connie Zionist Chung.
Yeah.
Put him on with Rather, because Rather said, this looks to me like a controlled demolition.
That's right.
And Kroll said that Bin Laden's fingerprints are on it, you know.
Yeah.
Kroll, the droll Hauer.
Yeah.
and so you have criminals who are influencing the American people, and they seem to think that their whole life has to be to influence an American. I mean, you must be very important. We must be exceedingly important, because all the Zionist effort is on you. World Jewry focuses exclusively on you. They don't focus that much on British or Australians. That's under their control thoroughly. But the propaganda emphasis is on you. And I don't know about you, but I don't think anybody wants to be made out as dumb. And I don't think anybody likes to be called a dumb, useless eater, a.k.a. Henry the Zionist Kissinger.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody likes to be told that they're a cannon fodder.
That was actually Kissinger, and I think the useless feeder, I think
it was Ted Turner,
Mr. Global.
Well, Kissinger said something very similar, because he said Americans are just dumb, stupid animals to be used.
That's right.
And you're right, Ted Turner gets in the mix here.
Yep.
But to be used means to be used for the global hedge money.
I
don't know how many military people are listening, but God help the military, because your blood is being spilled for a foreign government.
And Kissinger said you were cannon fodder. And that's all he thinks you are.
And many other things. Kissinger has made it clear that his objective is to cull human population.
That's right.
By about 90%.
That's a scary thing. I just wanted to go back for a second to Obama and his legitimacy. I don't know whether you can answer this question. I feel as if I should know the answer to it. Who actually certifies the birth certificate of someone who...
you have to look at the connections to Zion of the governor of Hawaii. And apparently, and you know he's made some visits there, apparently, what's being done is we're not dealing with a person born here, okay? And Nikoloff has proven that he wasn't born in Kenya. And he's moving in on the possibility that he was born in Papua New Guinea, okay? Now, regardless, because you see the Indonesian connection there, regardless, we would have to pick Hawaii, wouldn't we, as a place? If you said he was born in South Dakota, that would be very easy to investigate. Let's pick Hawaii to make it almost impossible.
Yeah.
So it's all, obfuscation and fabrication and phonification.
But you don't know who actually looks at the birth certificate. That's what
It would have come from the governor's office. It's a phony.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to come from either her or, or their subsidiaries.
But if you look at the actual Burke Spearage, and I remember when Obama was running about 6 months before the election, he said he was related to Dick Cheney. However, there was a big thing on I remember seeing it on NBC News that said that he was related to six different presidents.
Well. Let's find out who those presidents are and ask a question.
They said who they were.
Huh?
One was Grover Cleveland, believe it or not. Teddy Roosevelt.
Well, let's ask if any of those people are related to the Rockefeller bloodline.
Wouldn't doubt it. Somewhere
if you can prove, if he's bragging, and you can prove that all six of those, this is research Nikoloff's doing right now, if you can prove that all six of those are related to the Rockefeller bloodline, then you've got a cinch, because there's a, then you can start to think about whose child this young man
really is.
And really is. And what's important there is that the American people have been led to believe that their president, His Excellency, is a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The reason I bring this up is because I'm the first one to publish in the book form the fact that the Shah of Iran, that the people of Iran were led to believe, and the people of America and so forth, that the Shah was a modernizer.
Right.
He was an unusual Islamic person that wanted to bond to the West to modernize his peasant and mullah-ridden. This is the concept. Now, what's the facts? The Shah wasn't a Muslim. The Shah was a Russian Jew. As published in Pollock's The Jewish Shah, Michigan University Press. Even Iranians to this day don't know. And so, it was done in Iran, they imposed a hostile individual who sent oil off to Israel and whatever on the people. And now, what if the same was done in America? People thought, whether religion is important or not, I don't care about that part to the people. You know, it's the point of fraud. Now, I know that matters of faith are very important. They're very important for me, but the man was put off as being A, but he's really B. To be honest with you, Rahm Emanuel is your top guy.
Yeah.
Emanuel's a Mossad.
That's right.
He's a Mossad mole.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely
true. He's a spy from another country, man.
I know. The minute that he appointed him,
it was all over
for me. You know, it was
make a fool out of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was all over. I mean, it was just like, all right, there.
Well, enough. And so what Obama said to some private Jewish groups is, I was Jewish before I was trying to get your vote. In other words, I'm one of you. Now, what is he saying? So you have to say to yourself, well, we really don't know who the father of this man is, and we really don't know who the mother is, because everything else is fabricated.
Yeah.
All right?
Well, is he the Antichrist, or what is he?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
This is exactly what everybody doesn't understand. You know?
Actually, I was reading some fascinating stuff the other day about it. About not so much about him, but about about what Alex Crowley had predicted, and what he stated would be the Antichrist. All right, and
you know why Jesus told everybody that type of stuff in the Prophet Muhammad, to alert them that it would come as if everybody's going to fall for it, right?
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
And how many people fell for it? And then Rahm Emanuel, a foreign spy, is his top associate.
Scary.
Right? Now, how many people thought he went to this Christian church, and this Christian church was talking about 911 being a fraud, so maybe he's a radical, and it turns out he's not a Christian, he's Jewish. And how many people fell for a little bit for Michelle Obama, maybe a nice change, when her name is Michelle Cohen Obama?
Really?
Yes. Her first cousin is the most prominent black rabbi in America.
No.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Holy.
Whoa.
So now that's why the Jewish people are crowing. That's why World Jewry is smug. They have installed a Jewish president, a Jewish vice president. Joseph Biden's Jewish, by the way. Okay?
He is.
Jewish first lady.
Wait, he's a practicing Jew?
Well, yes, he is. Whether it's secret or not is another thing.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, he is.
Wow.
Oh, yes, he is. He's one of the few. He was a senator, wasn't he? Senator
yeah.
Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of a group of a few Jewish senators.
With Lieberman and
Sherman, Schumer and stuff. Now, and then the chief of staff is Jewish.
I know. You got it completely.
It's a complete, absolute coup.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
You've been taken over. And it's been done through deception.
Well,
that is an Antichrist material. I don't know what is. You know.
Yeah. No, I thought so. I was afraid of that when I read.
I think you hit it right on the button. Here's the issue.
A friend of mine sent me this information, and it was this description that was brought about by Alex Crowley, and you know, there was he was the most evil man in the world, you know, trying to bring about the Antichrist and describe who it would be, and he showed you. The guy said, "Here you go, Leo. This is who he is."
I mean, let's face the facts. Ron Paul said, "What are you talking about?"
Obama
said, "You're going to nuke a sovereign nation." I mean, what does that have to do with us?
Yeah.
And he and McVeigh and, you know, I don't know, Tan Crago or whatever. They're all talking about nuke them.
Yeah.
All everybody thought, oh, they're just trying to get the Jewish vote.
Yeah.
Oh, who gives a hill of beans about the Jewish vote?
Yeah.
It's about becoming a president. You don't need the vote.
Right.
You need the subterfuge. You need the media. You need the corruption.
So Obama is Jewish.
He's Jewish.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's amazing. What's Reverend Wright? Is he a rabbi?
Well, he's a rabbi by Israel standards, which is that if you will kill Muslim people, if you go after the goyim. If you'll take the goyim's rights away, then you're a rabbinical scholar, you're an ordained one.
Oh, rights, rights one.
And, you know, come on, let's face Erkun. The Stern gang is in the White House now through Rahm Emanuel.
Oh, man.
You know? His father and his relatives.
Look, I want to have you back very, very soon, because we're already 5 minutes over our end time here. But we got to discuss more of this, because now that we've exposed the Antichrist, let's further expose him.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. This is a criminal cartel that is out to usurp everything that the people in this country stand for, which is their freedom and their integrity, their uniqueness.
Yeah, I'm very frightened, and I think everybody should be. That's
absolutely
what we're looking at.
If you don't do something, I'm concerned that people will disappear.
Well, thank you. We'll end on that note. Please go to knowledgehousepublishing.com.
And wrongly blamed. Make it a point of giving out others to other people.
Yeah.
1-866-626-5888. I'll be on the Don Nikoloff Show, Direct Light Productions, for an hour tonight. DirectLightProductions.com.
All right. You can check.
All right.
Success Radio. Yeah.
All right.
And thanks for being with us.
Yeah, you bet. Bye.
Good night.
Thank you. That was Kath Ingram talking to us. About Obama and things in the White House and the people that are surrounding him, and we've got to go.
So thank you, everybody, for listening, and please go to Ellie Steele Show.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. It wasn't a great quality tape, unfortunately. I apologize for the sound. But at the same time, I hope you got the gist of what what Dr. K was talking about. And I hope it was informative. I wish you the best tonight. Thanks for joining us. And tomorrow night we will be, I believe will be the last night. We'll be winding up the Agni Yoga series with the last book, Illumination. We'll be on to bigger and better things the following week. And on a Friday we'll be talking again with George Dixon. So join us tomorrow night for the Illumination, and tomorrow night and Friday night for George Dixon. I wish you a happy evening. Good night.